God bless you this evening, those that have come out to pray here in New York City and those that are joining with us online live. God bless you. I trust that this prayer meeting tonight will be victorious for you, be a strength to you. I thank God for that with all of my heart. This is a wonderful hour to be in prayer. I'd like to start this evening by sharing with you, before we turn to prayer, a word that the Lord put on my heart this morning, and it's from the beginning of the Bible, right in the book of Genesis, right in the beginning of your Bible, for those that are new to the Lord. And it's the chapter 4, which is right after Satan came down into the Garden of Eden, and he convinced humankind, created in the image of God, that somehow you can operate outside of the Word of God, or the words of God, and still be blessed, and even convincing that those people of that time that operating outside of the Word of God, not only will you be blessed, but you will increase, your knowledge will increase, your status, you will know the difference yourself between good and evil, you'll become judges of what's right and what's wrong. And they fell into that sin. And when they fell into the sin of thinking that we don't have to obey God anymore, just as this nation has, and the United States of America fell into the same sin of thinking that we don't have to obey God. We don't have to walk in the confines of how He has revealed truth to us. We can live outside of that truth, and somehow we will not experience any consequence for that. But you go into chapter 4 and you look at the consequence after they bit into that lie. And the first thing you see in chapter 4 is one brother killing another out of jealousy. The spirit of murder and hatred comes into the world. And surely we're seeing that in our time. Hatred and murder seem to be everywhere. And it's gotten to the point where it's so commonplace now in the news that no matter how heinous the crime might be, it doesn't shock anybody anymore. Because when you turn away from God, you're unleashing a lawlessness in your society. And the end result is exactly as in Genesis chapter 4. One brother begins to hate another. That's where it all started. There's an envy, there's a hatred. And when that's unchallenged and unchecked, it turns to murder. And the recent events, for example, in several of our cities, and we've seen exactly how that plays itself out and how difficult and tragic and heartbreaking that can be. And then after this, the Lord spoke to this particular brother who killed his brother, and he said, "You're cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you." And when any person or people or a nation turn away from God, a spirit of hatred starts getting a hold of the people. Envy, jealousy starts coming in. And the next thing is the nation or the ground no longer yields its plenty. The days of prosperity are over. And this is exactly what happened in Genesis chapter 4, and it's exactly what's happening to this nation. And I'm speaking to those that are around the world, and you also know, many of you, these things have happened in the places where you live as well. Suddenly, the land is not yielding its strength anymore. The education system begins to fail. Industry begins to vanish. And there's a sense of hopelessness for the future. That's exactly what they must have been facing. Then you go deeper into the chapter, and it talks about this man Lamech, and one of the part of the lineage. And it was the first time that somebody says he took for himself two wives. So now what you have after casting off the words of God, you have murder, poverty, and now immorality, a moral breakdown. It's the first mention in the Bible of somebody going outside what God prescribed marriage to be and taking to himself two wives. And so of all this breakdown, and I was looking at it this morning, I was reading it, studying it, and thinking in my heart, what an incredible parallel to the day that we're living in, when we have such violence in our cities. Even the House of God recently in South Carolina, not even the House of God is a safe place for people anymore. And we're seeing this hatred, this murderous spirit that's being unleashed in our society, this desire for vengeance and all these other things that are going on. Poverty in the nation seemingly at every level. We're now $18 trillion in debt. And even a recent government watchdog agency issued a warning that within 10 years, America is going to be broke. And this is a government agency. It's not some outside outfit trying to prove a political point. These are the people who are actually hired to do this. Said within 10 years, on the present trajectory, this country is going to be broke. You see, the land will no longer be yielding its increase. Morality is breaking down. The definition of home, family, marriage, all changing right before our eyes. But there was a fourth thing that happened in chapter 4. There was another son born to Adam and Eve, and his name was Seth. And he gave birth to another son called Enosh. And then it says, then men began to call on the name of the Lord. In the midst of all this, there was a people who rose up and began to pray. Thank God for prayer. I thank God for prayer with all my heart. I thank God that this week in South Carolina that we have seen here in this country that prayer triumphs over violence and poverty and immorality. Thank God for people in that church of character, people who have received the right Christ, who have the right spirit. And even the daughter of one of the ladies who was gunned down in that church said to the news, I'm praying for this young man who killed my mother because everyone deserves a second chance. Thank God for the spirit of prayer. Thank God for those who are willing to live God's way. And so when we see this breakdown in chapter 4 of society, very, very much mirroring the breakdown in our present day, at the end of the chapter, a people rose up who began to pray, who began to call on God. And when they began to call on God, a whole other lineage came into the world. And the progression of evil was abated. It's never completely stopped, but it was abated. And when we pray, you never know what God's going to do when we begin to pray. The one thing I challenge you, never limit Him. Never limit God. Never say there's something God can't do. Don't ever declare this generation too deep, too dark, too far, too gone, too poor, too vengeful. Don't declare it to be those things. I don't care how many giants are in the land. The Bible says when I pray, when we pray, God will answer us. When we say move, this mountain must move out of the way. Jesus Himself said, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. So I stand on the ground of faith in God. I stand on the ground of the one who went to the cross and defeated the devil, defeated his lies, defeated his works, defeated the power of sin. The one who sits at the right hand of all authority, all power, every name that is named is in subjection to Him. All power, all principality, every work of hell and darkness. I don't care what name it comes by, it's in subjection to His victory. And tonight He invites you and I to come to the throne of grace, not in our time of strength, but in our time of need. And we're in a time of need, but we're on the winning side, and we're coming to the one who can change it. Thank God for that with all my heart.
I just want to share with you a few thoughts on prayer and faith. In the Bible, the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah, I'm just going to read about five verses, beginning at verse 25 and going down to verse 30. And I just believe that there is a word of comfort that the Lord has. Tonight, when I was reading the prayer requests, the word tired came up over and over and over and over again, or a word similar, the word overwhelmed or sometimes fatigued. And I just felt that the Lord had something to say to us about His capacity to give us the strength that we need in times when we feel as though we can't go one more step. Isaiah 40, beginning at verse 25, the Lord asks, to whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of His might and the strength of His power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. The young man shall utterly fall. But then the Bible goes on to say that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Basically, what we hear is the Lord saying there are times when we get weary, times when we feel as though we can't go another step, times when we feel as though the concerns of our hearts and the infirmities of our lives are somehow forgotten or overlooked by the Lord. Now, we don't say things like that, and we don't believe those things in theory. We don't. It's not a part of our theology that God forgets us, but sometimes in our hearts, in the deep parts, the parts that are sometimes even hidden from ourselves, we wonder, where is God? And can I even go any farther in Christ? Can I go farther? Can I go one more day, one more step? Well, the Bible says that even the youths get tired. Even people with energy get tired. Even people with so-called natural strength get tired. There comes times in every person's life when we finally recognize that our energy and our enthusiasm, our education, our experience, none of these things are able to give us the strength to take one more step. But then the Bible says that the Lord, our God, the creator of all things, the one who knows all the stars by their name, the one who speaks and all these things have come to be, the one who sustains them by the word of his power, the Bible says that he never gets tired. He never gets weary. He never faints. He never fails. Now, the awesome thing about it is he addresses Israel. He addresses Jacob. He addresses us, and he asks us the question, did you forget that I'm the one who made all of these things? Did you forget that I'm the one who created all of these things, that I'm the one who sustains all of these things? And then he begins to ask them some questions. And he says, who is like me? And to whom are you going to compare me? And it's almost as though he's saying, what kind of situation is as significant, as serious, is as powerful? What kind of situation are you in? What kind of situation are you dealing with that can compare to God? What kind of difficulty, what kind of hardship, what kind of trial, what kind of trouble are you dealing with that can stand side by side with God, that can compare itself to the one who created all things, who brought all these things into being? How big is your trouble? How big is your difficulty? How big is your hardship? And he's basically reminding us that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing too big for God, nothing too difficult for God. But then he seems to say something else. And that is, he's not just not tired of our difficulties. He's not simply not tired of the things that make us tired. But he's also not tired of us. And he doesn't get tired of us when we get tired of him. He doesn't get tired of us when we begin to say, God, where are you? And God, can you help me? Because I think you might have forgotten me. We would think that that would be something that makes God say, well, if that's the case, I don't want to hear from you. But the Bible says that he doesn't grow faint, he doesn't grow weary, even when we do. Remember? He said, even if we deny him, yet he remains faithful, because he can't deny himself. He can't not be God. And he can't get to a place where he sees somebody. Remember, the Bible says that even a smoldering wick, even the slightest little flame, he can't get to the place where when a tired person comes to him weeping and saying, oh God, have mercy on me, he can't get to the place where he says, look, I'm sick and tired of you. I can't hear that anymore. Haven't you come to this place enough? Haven't you come to the altar enough? No. What the Bible says is every time we come to him, when we come to him broken, when we come to him with a godly sorrow, when we come to him and say, God, I can't do this on my own. I've tried to do it in my youthful strength. I've tried to make it happen, but I realize now that I can't do anything. I realize now that my power can't keep me. I realize now that my good intentions can't keep me. I realize now that my enthusiasm can't keep me. I realize now that my excitement can't keep me. My energy can't keep me. I'm at a place now where I'm coming to you and I'm saying, God, I'm tired. God, I don't have any strength. The Bible says that he will not be ashamed of us. He will not be ashamed to call us his brothers and his sisters. He doesn't get tired of the things that make us tired, and he doesn't get tired of us when we're tired. The God that we serve does not faint, does not grow weary. So he asks Israel that question, why are you saying that God is tired of you? Why are you saying that God has become exasperated with you? Why are you saying that God has forgotten your issues and your concerns? What he's saying is the God that you serve never gets tired. The God that you serve never forgets you. The God that you serve never grows weary, never grows faint. The God that you serve can be touched with the feelings of your infirmities. The God that you serve will never put out a smoldering wick. I don't care. As long as you come to him fatigued, tired, overwhelmed, broken, but say, God, I can't do this in my own strength. I can't make this happen. And your word tells me that you're not tired of me. Your word tells me that you haven't forgotten me. Your word tells me, in fact, that you are calling me and you're questioning me and saying, why are you saying in your heart that God has forgotten you? God hasn't forgotten you. Why are you saying in your heart that God is tired of you? God's not tired of you. Why are you saying in your heart that God is exasperated with you? He's gotten to a place where he just can't hear it one more time. No. I want to say this thing to you before we pray. As Pastor Carter mentioned not too long ago, sometimes we ascribe to God our own thoughts. And we wonder why God still wants to talk to us. And yes, if we were God, we wouldn't want to talk to ourselves anymore. But we're not God, thank God. Hallelujah. We're not God. So just because we're tired and weary, we tend to ascribe that to God. You know how sometimes you're tired and you're weary and you don't feel good and you don't feel like you're getting through. So somehow you think that God is not actually hearing you just because you don't feel like you're getting through. So your fatigue sometimes allows you to believe that God is fatigued. And when you get tired or when I get tired, we tend to think that God is tired. And when we get frustrated, we think God is frustrated. But God's not like us. We grow tired. Even in our strength, we are a tired people. But the God of our creation, the God who made us, the God who loves us, the God who keeps us, never grows tired, never gets weary. He doesn't feel like we feel. And then the Bible says finally, but those who wait upon the Lord, those who put their trust in him, those who believe that he is who he said he is, that he's as faithful as he says he is, that he's as loving as he says he is, that he's as patient as he says he is, that he cares the way he says he cares, that he's persistent in his faithfulness. Those of us who choose to believe that, all of a sudden, the Bible says, they mount up with wings as eagles. All of a sudden, they begin to run and not grow weary. They begin to walk and not faint. All of a sudden, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All of a sudden, there is not just a supernatural strength that comes to them, but they remind themselves that even when they're tired, God's not tired. Even when they're weary, God's not weary. Even when they feel like they're not getting through, they're getting through. Because the God that we serve draws our prayers up to him. He doesn't wait for us, right, to throw them up into the heavens. We don't have that kind of strength. When I was a little kid, I used to try to throw, you know, baseball. We used to always try to throw rocks and baseballs and stuff like that on the roof. And I was just not strong enough to do it. Or I didn't have a good release point, and I would always throw it to, like, the second floor. You know what I mean? I could never get it onto the roof, and all my buddies, they had it, like, over the roof. You know? And I'm thinking to myself, I don't have that kind of strength. And to this day, I can't throw my prayers up to the roof. You see what I'm saying? I can't throw my prayers up to God. So he's got to draw them up. He's got to pull them up. He's got to pull them out. He's got to pull them up. And he alone can cause my prayers to be heard. I can talk all day about the fact that I don't feel like I'm getting through. It's not about me getting through. It's about God's faithfulness. It's about God drawing those prayers up. It's about God making things happen that I could never do in my own strength. Now, I'm going to ask Amy Matthew if she would come and pray, because God has given her a heart of faith to believe. And she's going to believe tonight with us here in the congregation and with those who are with us online for God to draw our faith out of us. We can't fling our faith up to God. We can't fling our prayers up to God. We can't, but God can draw them out because he never gets tired. He never gets weary. He's never overwhelmed. You and I, we might get tired sometimes. We might get overwhelmed sometimes. But God never gets tired. He never gets overwhelmed. And tonight, as we stand, let's stand together, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to believe God. We're going to say, Lord, listen, I'm going to lift up my prayer and my weakness, but I need you to draw it out of me. I need you to pull it to places where I could never fling it. I need you to pull it to places, to pull it to certain heights. I need God to cause my prayers to be heard on high, because I can't do this in my own strength. If you are tired tonight, I want you to shout louder than you would ordinarily shout. I want you to cry out to God as we begin to pray. I want you to say, God, I'm going to throw it so high, and you pull it up as high as it needs to go. If the tighter you are, the louder you cry out, and you wage war tonight, you believe God tonight, you expect God to do something great, because this is an opportunity for you to agree with God when God says, there is nothing that can compare to me. There is no hardship, no difficulty, no problem, no situation, no pain, no hurt. There is nothing, 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 nothing that compares to our God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you that your word says, Lord God, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, Lord God. God, I thank you that there are those here tonight, Lord God, myself included, Lord God, that are going to believe you tonight, Lord God, for faith, Lord God. God, I'm asking, Lord God, that tonight, Lord God, that the gift of faith would arise in our hearts tonight, Lord God. God, I'm asking, Lord God, that there are those, Lord God, in this room, Lord God, and those listening in, Lord God, that are so tired that they can't even get out of bed, my God. But you remind us in your word that you said you would cause us to mount up on wings as eagles, my God. God, I thank you for strength tonight, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for those who have prayed earnestly, Lord God, day in and day out, Lord God, believed in you, Lord God, believed, Lord God, not seeing it, Lord God, but believed in you tonight, Lord God. God, I'm asking, Lord God, that tonight, Lord God, that you would speak to their heart, Lord God, and that you would say your faith has made you well, Lord God. God, by faith, your prayer has been answered, my God. God, I'm asking that tonight, Lord God, that faith would arise, Lord God, in our hearts, Lord God. Oh, God, for the things, Lord God, that we are even afraid to ask you for, Lord God. The things, Lord God, that we are even shy about coming to you for, Lord God, because faith is not in us, my God. God, I'm asking That tonight, Lord God, that there would be no wall between you and us, my God. That there would be nothing standing in the way, Lord God, to believe in you for the impossible, my God. To believe in you for our cities, Lord God. To believe in you for our families, Lord God. To believe in you for healing, my God. God, your name is holy. Your name is a redeemer. Your name is a healer. Your name is provider. Your name, Lord God, is peace. My God, I thank you, Lord God, that we stand upon that name, Lord God, that the mention of that name, the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are God. God, I'm asking for faith to arise in my heart, my God. Oh God, I'm asking, Lord God, where I see loved ones, Lord God, dying without you, Lord God, I'm asking for faith to believe, Lord God, where I'm hearing stories of people, Lord God, cutting themselves, Lord God, dying of depression, my God, on suicide watch, my God. I'm asking that you would give me faith, my God, faith to believe that you are bigger than the problem, Lord God, bigger than the mountain, Lord God, bigger than, Lord God, the doctor's diagnosis, Lord God. You are more than able, my God. You are more than able, Lord God, to accomplish everything that concerns us today and every day of our lives, because you said in your word, Lord God, that you are the end from the beginning, Lord God. God, I'm thanking you, Lord God, in advance, Lord God, where we hear rumors of wars, Lord God, that you would come and that you would bring peace, Lord God, in countries, Lord God, that are stricken, Lord God, with war and turmoil, Lord God. I'm thanking you that you are the one who created the heavens and the earth, and you are the possessor of all things, Lord God. God, I thank you, Lord God, that you would hold back the rumors of war, my God, that you would bring peace where there is turmoil, Lord God, where there is destruction, where there is distress, my God. I'm asking that you do it, because you are not a God who would deny, Lord God. You do not deny the prayer of your church, my God. You will not deny the request that we are making to you, Lord God, because you hear every single one of them, even before they are uttered out of our mouths. That's what you said in your word, Lord God, that you sit at the right hand of the Father and you make intercession on our behalf, my God. God, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus Christ, that tonight, Lord God, that we are praying to a God who is alive and well, that we are praying to a God who hears us, that we are praying to a God who answers, that we are praying to a God who is faithful. We are praying to a God who is a promise keeper, a way maker. My God, I thank you. I thank you that tonight that I will not leave here knowing that my prayer has not been heard, but I will leave here believing that it has been done, that it is finished, that it is done. God, I thank you. In your holy name, I ask these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
The Lord's been having us rejoice tonight in his faithfulness. I've felt it in my heart all evening. When it looks hopeless, when it looks like darkness is winning the day, he's reminding us again that joy does come again in the morning. That he is the author and giver of life. He is the deliverer, the husband to the widow, the father to the fatherless. He is the one who comes when nothing else can help us. When we've grown weary, he's the one that gives us new strength to rise up, as we just heard. Father, in Jesus' name, tonight we ask you to bring healing to our nation. You said if my people were called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. God, heal us. God, heal us where we're broken. Heal us, Lord. Heal us, Lord, where we're divided. Heal us, Lord, where there's bitterness. Heal us, oh God. Let righteousness flow again like a mighty stream. We turn to you, Lord. We turn to you and ask for healing. We turn to you, Lord, with broken hearts because of our broken homes and our broken cities, our broken systems, and our broken families. We turn to you, Lord, and ask for healing. We ask you to come into this country like a tsunami from heaven. and sweep away the lies. And let every man, woman, and child know there is a God in heaven. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you with all of our heart tonight, Lord, that you're not tired of us. You're not tired of our prayers. You long for us to pray, Lord. You long to heal us and you long to give us strength. So, God, we ask you for a miracle. A miracle. A miracle, Lord. That you would push away those who would divide and destroy us. And you would bring healing. Father, we thank you for these things, Lord. Thank you for our brothers and sisters from around the world that have joined us tonight. We lift them up before you. And we don't know every situation, but you do, Lord. You do, God. You know what they're going through. You know what the trials are. And you are well able to meet them. And so, Father, we thank you for them. We thank you, God. In this last day, you will have a praying people in the earth. There will be a victorious church. And God, we bless you for it, and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah. Hallelujah.